our Lord and Savior. Amen. You know, one of the greatest joys in life is celebrating the birth of a baby. When we look at a newborn infant, we try to imagine how he or she will change and grow and mature in the days and weeks and months and years that are ahead. We look forward to seeing that infant begin to grow stronger and eventually acquire new skills. But what would happen if that infant only ate one meal a day? Well, he or she would probably survive, but that infant would be weak and his or her growth would be impaired. However, what if that same infant ate only one meal per week instead of one meal per day? Well, at this point, he or she would be facing starvation. And if the infant did manage to survive, he or she would be very ill and have severe disabilities. Finally, what would happen if that infant had less than one meal per week or didn't even eat at all? Well, at this point, death would most certainly occur. In fact, every person needs nourishment, and without it, death is certain. Therefore, most people would agree that physical nutrition is extremely important. However, even more important than physical nutrition is spiritual nutrition. Listen again to part of our second reading from 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." Did you hear that? Peter says that we Christians should see ourselves as spiritual infants. Infants who must nourish ourselves with the spiritual milk of God's Word. We must do this if we wish to grow up in our salvation. So with that said, we begin sermon number 2 in our 12-part sermon series. And today's sermon is entitled, "The Necessity of Nurture." Now, most scholars agree that the book of 1 Peter was likely written to congregations who had people that recently had been baptized. Now, we learned last Sunday in the sermon that baptism is a matter of death and life. In other words, God works in baptism to kill our sinful nature and then give us new life in Christ as His children. However, we also learned that baptism is not merely a one-time act in the past. Instead, baptism is an ongoing reality in the life of the Christian. By the power of baptism, we die to sin and we live for Christ every day. But the only way that we can experience the ongoing power of baptism is if we continue to be nurtured by God's Word, because it is His Word that keeps us in a life of repentance and faith. Repentance of sin and faith in Christ. That is how we grow up in our salvation. So with that understood, we also learned last Sunday that it is possible for people to lose the spiritual life that God has given them in baptism. You see, if we have little or no nourishment from God's Word, the only option then is that we will grow weak in our faith. And worse yet, it's possible that we might lose our faith altogether and die spiritually. That's why we have to take today's sermon title very seriously. The necessity of nurture. You know, it's tragic when you think about it. Most parents would never think of depriving their children of the physical nutrition that they need. And yet, we parents are often tempted to neglect our children's spiritual nourishment, which is far more important. We get distracted by so many things in our culture. We get our kids involved in a million things, but for some reason, we parents in our sin deprive them of the spiritual growth they need. Now, obviously, it's very, very good that we bring our children to services in Sunday school on a regular basis. That's wonderful that you do that. But we also need to keep God's Word as part of our home life throughout the week. I mean, think of it. We would never think of eating only one meal per week. But that is often the only spiritual meal that most of us get, and some don't even get that. Sadly, there are many adults whose names are on the membership rolls of congregations, and yet these same adults have absolutely no hunger for God's Word. They don't come to church, they don't go to Bible class. Now, of course, they often have an objection. When we say that they should be in church and Bible class, they have an objection, and this is what it is. Pastor, I don't need to attend services in Bible class because, you see, I pray and I read God's Word on my own. All right. Well, then I usually respond by saying, well, if you really are reading God's Word, then you know that He wants you here with your fellow Christians in church and at Bible class. But also what I've discovered is that people who have no desire to come to church and no desire to come to Bible class, usually they don't pray and study God's Word during the week either. Oh, sure, there may be a few exceptions to that, but this rule proves true in most cases. If people are not coming to church and Bible class, they're probably not studying God's Word and praying during the week either. But on the other hand, those who are being nourished by God's Word in services and in Bible classes, they're also the ones who tend to pray and take time for God's Word during the week as well. Such people take time for prayer. They take time for daily devotions. They probably read the Scriptures. And why? The reason is that the more they grow in God's Word, the more they crave it. It's kind of like the old Lay's potato chip slogan, you can't eat just one. Now, of course, there's another objection that people put forth. Those who don't attend church and Bible class, they will say, Pastor, you know what? You people who go to church and Bible class, you just think you're better than us people who don't. So why should we associate with you? Really? You know, truthfully, I've met very few faithful Christians who actually think they're better than others. In fact, what I've discovered is that Christians who grow in God's Word each day, they're often some of the most humble people you will ever meet. Because when they're in God's Word, they're very aware of their sin. And they're very aware that they're not better than others. In fact, one time years ago, I was working with a guy who never went to church. And he accused me of thinking that I was better than him because I did go to church and try to read the Bible every day. Well, you know how I lovingly responded to him? I said, on the contrary, my friend, I know that I'm an unworthy sinner, and I know I'm not better than you. I also know that I cannot possibly remain a Christian if I don't have regular nourishment from God's Word. But then I went on to say, however, you seem to think that you can get by just fine without God's Word. So maybe you're the one who thinks you're better than me because you seem to think you can get by without God's Word. He admitted that he had never thought of it that way before. So my friends, we need to reach out in humility and love to those whom we know who are starving themselves spiritually by their avoidance of God's Word. We need to help them see what they're missing. We need to help them understand how much they need Christ and His Word. But while we do this, we also need to be very sure that we ourselves are being nourished, because we're sinners too. If we're not being nourished, we too could easily grow weak in our faith and fall away. Now in our first reading from Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul says that God's mercy, His mercy moves us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. That's just one way of talking about the baptized life. You see, in one sense, a sacrifice is dead. We are, in our baptism, to die to our sinful desires and actions every day. But we also know that in baptism, we are raised up with Christ so that we might live a new life. That's why Paul, in our readings from Romans 12, tells us to do two things. First, he says, do not conform to the ways of this world. And then secondly, he says, he wants you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So do not be conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's look at that first point first. What we learn from the Bible is that the devil is always seeking to conform us to the evil ways of this world. And you know, our sinful nature is usually more than willing to comply. Now, I don't have to tell you about all the things in our society that can tempt us to sin and lead us away from God. The point is, the more we conform to these things, the more we begin to think and live like the unbelievers of this world. But now for the other point. The good news is that God rescues us from this fate by transforming our minds. And how does He transform our minds? With His Word. You see, just as the devil fills our minds with toxic garbage, God fills our minds with His Holy Word. He fills our minds with His Holy Word that we might have comfort and peace, but He also fills our minds with His Word so that we might know how to live the baptized life. And my friends, the more we grow in God's Word, the more we will begin to think and live like Christ. You know, it doesn't surprise me that Jesus said what He did at the end of our gospel reading in Matthew chapter 28. Jesus told His disciples to go and make more disciples. And how were they to do this? One, by baptizing them in God's name. And two, by teaching them His Word. You see, we need both gifts of God to be strong in our faith. We need baptism, we need His Word. So now, once again, we understand the point of the sermon title, the necessity of nurture. So parents, I invite you to rejoice in the opportunities that you have to raise your children in the faith. In fact, you might notice that when we baptize infants or children in this congregation, I always ask the parents to promise that they will raise their child in God's Word. And that's so important, parents. Now, I know that we parents sometimes fail in this task. I know I have. But the good news is that we can come to Jesus with this sin and know that through Him we are forgiven and holy in God's sight, and that He will give us a new beginning every day where we get to raise our children in the faith. So parents, in view of God's mercy, offer your children to God by having them attend services and Sunday school on a regular basis. Even more than that, you can bless your children by having family devotions and prayer time during the week. We even have resources here to help parents with that. In fact, that's one reason I have parents attend confirmation with their children. It's a way of encouraging their faith to be a weekly thing and not just something on Sunday morning. Just think of it, during the week, parents, you can talk to your children about Jesus. You can read Martin Luther's Small Catechism with them. You can watch Christian movies. You can listen to Christian music. You can also make sure that your children have Christian friends. However, as you know, children grow up We were all children once, and now many of us are adults. And we adults, well, we represent various age groups at this congregation. We have young adults, we have middle-aged adults, we have elderly adults. But you know what? All of us adults need to remember our confirmation vows. Whether you've just been confirmed last spring, or whether you're pushing 100, we need to remember our confirmation vows. So I'd like you to grab a blue hymnal in front of you in the pew rack. Turn in the front part to page 206. Page 206. And when you get to page 206, which is the rite of confirmation, I want you to go down towards the bottom and look at the fourth question that the pastor asks the confirmants. In fact, whenever we have Confirmation Sunday, usually a few weeks before, I take the children through these questions and especially focus on this one to make sure they take it seriously. So on page 206, the fourth question to the confirmants reads, "Do you intend to conform all your life to the divine word, to be faithful in the use of God's word and sacraments, which are his means of grace, and in faith, word, and action to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death?" Now those are serious words, and so we ought to take them seriously. However, if you're like me, you haven't always been faithful to that promise. Years ago, when I was confirmed, I was asked a question just like this, and I answered yes. But I must admit that I have not always been faithful to that promise, just as you have not always been faithful. But the good news is that we can come to God every day in repentance, knowing that in our baptism we stand before Him pure and innocent and holy in His sight. Because we are God's children, because we are washed clean from our sin by the blood of Jesus applied to us in the waters of baptism, God will now do all He can to nourish us with His Word, that we might grow up in our salvation and have the strength to live the baptized life. Therefore, my friends, in view of God's mercy, take advantage of the nourishment and nurture opportunities He has given you. Coming to church services like you are today, going to Bible classes and Sunday school, having family devotions, having personal study of the Scriptures, daily prayer with God, and also fellowship with other Christians during the week. That's important as well. But in addition to all that, today you also get to rejoice in this holy meal, the Lord's Supper, where Christ nourishes and nurtures you with the very body and blood that He gave and shed for you. In this holy meal, we are nurtured with the body and blood of Christ, who died that you might live the baptized life, now and forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment, we'll have the offering.